Welcome back to the lesson on Revelation. I hope that you have read this first chapter. I hope you have your Bibles open as we study this lesson today. In verse 1, it tells us that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Yesterday, I read verse 3 of this first chapter, and I reminded you that this is the only book that contains a special promise to the obedient readers. Verse 3 tells us that blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Many neglect this book. They put it aside as though it was not a book for the everyday Christian, for the Christian that works a job, keeps a house, or tends a family. Many think that the book of Revelation is just for Bible teachers and Bible preachers. They feel that they cannot understand it. Well, did you not understand verse 3? I read it into your hearing. That was simple enough to understand. There are many scriptures in the book of Revelation that you can understand, and it will minister to your heart. It will minister to your spirit. There's a lot of things in the scripture that I may not have a clear understanding of, yet I believe them. I know some would ask me, do you believe in something you don't understand? Can you trust and love something that you don't understand? My reply is, I'm married, am I not? I don't understand everything about my wife, but I love her. I believe in her. I trust her. So I do trust and believe and love things that I do not fully understand. But there's one thing I did notice about the book of Revelation. The number 7 appears to be the predominant number in this book. The number 7 appears more than 50 times. It tells us about 7 eyes, 7 lamps, 7 spirits, 7 horns, 7 angels. I'll go through some of these verses that contain the word 7. In Revelation, the first chapter, verse 4, talks about the 7 churches. Grace be unto you, John says, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. That verse alone, my friend, should cause your heart to rejoice. When I read it, I feel the Spirit bubbling up in my soul. In this one verse, we find the 7 churches and the 7 spirits which are before his throne. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind me I heard a voice saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia. And then he goes on to name those 7 churches. And then John said, I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. In verse 7, John tells us about the 7 golden candlesticks. But he didn't stop there. John said, in the midst of those 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Doesn't that make your heart overflow? And then John goes on to describe the one that he saw standing amidst the seven candlesticks. John says his head and his hair were white like wool, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, his voice as the sound of many waters. And listen to how John responded. And John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." I want us to look again at John's response. He said, "When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead." By what John is saying here, you would think that this was the first time that he had ever seen Jesus. But it was this same John that wrote, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." It is not written anywhere else that John or any of those apostles ever fell down at his feet. Was this the first time? It will certainly not be the last time. Others fell at his feet and worshiped him when Jesus was here in the flesh. "When I saw him," he says. Oh, John had never seen the Jesus as he was seeing him then. John had seen the Jesus that walked the dusty Judean hills. He had never seen him with feet of brass. He'd only seen him with sandal-laden feet as they walked from town to town. He'd never seen him with a white head. He'd never seen him with white hair. He'd never seen him with eyes as a flame of fire. This was the same John that was on Mount Transfiguration. He and Peter and James, when he saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah talking about his death, Jesus' garments became white, whiter than snow. John, Peter, and James were afraid that day also, but it doesn't record them falling down at his feet. Truly, John was seeing Jesus as he had never seen him before, in his shining glory. You and I one day will get to see him in all of his majesty. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I'm looking forward to the day that I can put my eyes upon his face and simply say, "Thank you. Thank you for all that you brought me through." I'm going to let Brother Tim Hill tell you how I really feel.
Gates of pearl, streets of gold, crystal rivers, mansions bright on heaven's golden avenue. The tree of life, jasper walls, I can't wait to see them all. Oh, but first, there is one thing I must do. I'm looking forward to looking back and saying thank you. When I stand before your throne, with every tear and sorrow gone, standing there, Lord, I'll recall how you brought me through. Until then, I'm looking forward to looking back. that day of celebration. In that land where not one tear will ever fall. Though anxious I await, even more anticipate, the moment I can thank you most of all. And I'm looking forward to looking back and saying thank you. When I stand before your throne with every tear and sorrow gone, standing there I'll recall how you brought me through it all. And until then I'm looking forward.